As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
All right, it is the About Them Cowboys podcast here on The Athletic, checking in with you late in the week of free agency. Would have been earlier in the week had there been a little bit more action from your Dallas Cowboys, but they're playing it like they normally do. They're just sitting back, letting the dominoes fall to them, letting the cards play out. I guess we'll see where they end up at the end of the day. We'll talk about the movement or lack thereof in this episode. Also, Father John Mashoda was at the Dak press conference. We'll get to that. But I want to make sure and tell you to subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys. It's $1 a month right now. Can't beat that with NFL free agency going on. We've got March Madness going on. So make sure you cash that in at theathletic.com/aboutthemcowboys. But now it's time to welcome in, as always, the Bash Brothers of all things Dallas Cowboys. Kevin KT Turner and... from The Athletic, Father John Mashoda. From Michigan. You're all the way up in Michigan, John. How's it going up there?
It's fine. It's, you know, that whole little power outage in Dallas and that little snowstorm got me ready for this weather. Not nearly that bad, but still cool.
What's the current temperature up there, John?
We're in the 30s, I would say. Let's see. 37? Does that do anything for you? That's fun. 37 and windy?
61 and fair. Just wanted to let you know.
I'll be back soon.
So let's start with the free agency bubble that hasn't really burst yet for the Cowboys, and might not, let's be honest. But I will say, let's start with the secondary, because that's kind of where things kind of started, is Cheeto signs a 3-year deal with the Bengals for, quite frankly, a little more money than I thought he would get on the open market. And then the Cowboys end up signing Jordan Lewis to a 3-year deal, quite a bit cheaper than Cheeto's deal, as you know, Jordan's a little less versatile if he's at cornerback. But I couldn't help but think maybe they're signing Jordan Lewis for other reasons than nickel cornerback. So I'd like to get your early thoughts, John, on, you know, Cheeto leaving and Jordan Lewis staying, and the whole cornerback position in general after the early portion of free agency.
Yeah, so I thought the entire time that I still feel that corner is the target at 10, and if by some chance they don't love a corner there, or they feel like they can get the same guy and maybe trade back a little bit, or maybe even wait till 44. Like, I just find it hard to believe that they're not drafting a corner between when that draft starts and the 44th pick. I've felt that all along. Nothing that's happened so far has made me think differently. But when you bring back Jordan Lewis, and judging by things that I've read on Twitter, not everyone's thrilled about that, I just think it takes out like the Richard Shermans and, you know, some of these other guys that are like not the high level free agent corners, but it takes out the other veterans, because I don't think they're going to spend on another guy like that. Because if you just look at their depth chart right now, you got Jordan Lewis, you got Anthony Brown, you got Trayvon Diggs, Reggie Robinson, I think, will make the move back over to corner. You got Rashard Robinson and you got Maurice Kennedy. Like, I don't think you need to add another veteran and then draft a guy. And so I think they're in a great spot right now to get a Sertan, to get a Caleb Farley, maybe trade back a few spots, get J.C. Horn, something like that. And I just think that fits with not only where they're drafting at, but what they need to do. So I don't know. I guess my only surprise, and it's a small one, and you kind of touched on it, KT, is with Jordan Lewis, you know, what I believe Dan Quinn is looking for, just going off his track record, is generally bigger corners, and that's not Jordan Lewis. So I'm interested if he sees him as being a guy like, hey, he can do a lot of different things. We've seen him blitz. We can move him around. He can be a good matchup guy here or there. Or maybe there is some talk about him maybe playing some safety. So that'll be an interesting move to watch for sure.
And it's crazy because you don't really have a good feel until someone, you know, talks to Dan Quinn. And just being where we are in the pandemic, not a ton of media availability and things like that. So it's been very difficult to know. And, you know, maybe it's a good strategy to kind of have that under wraps. But, you know, we're so used to knowing exactly what the Cowboys are looking for. And that's where the whole Jordan Lewis thing is very intriguing because, you know, you're looking at Trayvon Diggs outside. If you draft a guy at 10 that's a cornerback, you know, another outside corner, and then we might be looking at Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis, you know, having a competition for third cornerback. And if you want to throw in Maurice Kennedy or you want to throw in another guy like that, you can. Or maybe consideration, maybe Dan Quinn watched Jordan Lewis's tape, knows Jordan Lewis, and is like, hey, I think I can take a crack at this guy at free safety. And, you know, a situation where you'll be playing a lot of single high safety and things like that, and Donovan Wilson can come down a lot and be a strong safety near the line of scrimmage, where I think he's more effective. He's not a great cover guy, in my opinion. It's a thing that's out there, but it's just hard to pin that down until someone talks to Dan Quinn. So, and I don't even know, like, when does Dan Quinn talk? Does Dan Quinn talk even before the draft? I don't think that'll happen. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know if he will. I mean, he hasn't talked yet in a press conference setting or anything like that with us, but he did an interview with Pro Football Focus right after he signed with the Cowboys. And I just, listening to that interview, he said multiple times how that was like the number one thing he was going to do, was just go back and watch as much tape as he possibly could on all the Cowboys defenders. Now, obviously, he's somewhat familiar with them. I mean, he's obviously coached against them, but it was going to be one of these things where it just sounded like he was going to just break all of their tape down over again, particularly from last season, and figure out what they have there, what to keep and whatnot. So, you know, as to your point earlier, I just think that that's probably what happened. He probably looked at the Jordan Lewis tape and was like, I think he can help us in this way, this way, and this way. And he probably won't cost us a ton. So with all that combined, it kind of makes sense there. The other thing that factors in is, while people like myself, and I know you've done stuff like this too, KT, we've obviously talked about in this podcast, we put together these lists of, you know, who are the best free agents out there? And, you know, we're not sitting there grinding over the tape of every single free agent that's out there. A lot of them are the names we know. We've seen guys have success in the NFL. They very well could have looked at this free agency class and been like, meh, for what the price of some of these guys are, we don't love it. You know, I'd rather just keep Jordan Lewis, fill a hole, won't cost us a lot. Let's go in this draft and then really address it and draft another guy we compare with Trayvon Diggs and have them together, you know, for the next 4+ years. And so that's where I think that they might be looking at, because it just, you know, to us, Richard Sherman just seems like such an obvious thing because of the fact that he, you know, played for Dan Quinn in Seattle. But they might not, from what we've seen so far in this first week of free agency, they're probably not even willing to spend what it would take to get Richard Sherman.
Yeah, we're about 6 weeks away from the draft, right around 40 days or so. And I do think, like, so part of what they do in free agency is, like, to make sure they're not naked at any of these positions when they go in.
Right.
But, you know, another thing, I do think it is interesting to watch the developments of other teams that, like, are in front of the Cowboys at pick 10. Like Denver signing Ronald Darby at cornerback at 9. Does that make Denver's need for a cornerback a little less? You know, it might. Maybe Denver's not sitting there going, we have to take cornerback. So, and that opens up, you know, the possibility of having your choice at Caleb Farley or Patrick Surtain at 10. Or even if the cornerbacks get pushed back a little bit, you were to trade back. Like, I do think that was an interesting develop. It's a little thing, but it's something to watch. You know, today they added some defensive tackles. And to me, this is good because now you do kind of get to see in two guys that they signed maybe a little bit of what Dan Quinn is looking for on the defensive line. They signed Brent Urban, who had been with the Bears, and he's real tall guy, 6'7", not a pass rushing type. He's a DT who is more of a run stopping type of guy, but I mean, he's a decent player, and they got him for cheap. You know, a decent player on defensive tackle, I'm all about that, given that you were probably going to ask Tristan Hill and Neville Gallimore to possibly be your starters next year. And they brought in Carlos Watkins as well. Carlos Watkins, who had been in Houston, Again, these guys are not at all household names, but they're pretty solid players. And the thing that stood out to me is that Brent Urban's 6'7", 300 pounds, and Carlos Watkins is 6'4", but he's got long arms, like really long arms, to like where you're like, okay, well, he's basically like a, you know, with his arms like a 6'7" guy. So they're clearly looking for that as like longer type of guys at defensive tackle. And I think Watkins could probably play a little one and three technique. Again, these guys aren't great players by any means, but I love adding that depth and then not being cornered into, oh, we've got to spend a premium pick on a defensive tackle. Like, now you can just kind of go best player and go from there. Would you agree with that?
I would, absolutely. And even when I saw both those signings, that was one of the first things that I thought about was, like, this does enough to where you absolutely don't have to draft a defensive tackle, but I still think they draft a defensive tackle within the first three rounds. I still think it's a major need for them, and they know it. But if, let's say, things just don't fall the way that they hope it falls, at least they have some insurance now with guys that have played at the NFL, have some starting experience and things like that, that you can at least count on to fill gaps. But I still think if the right defensive tackle's there, they still view that as a major position of need. So I don't think it changes a ton, and it doesn't cost you a lot, but it's more insurance, you know? And so also the other thing I thought when I saw that is it made me think, like, yeah, maybe all that talk throughout the season at the end of the year about, you know, potentially bringing back Gerald McCoy, yeah, that might be done. You know, they might be going this route and then, like I said, draft a guy at some point, and then that's where they go from there. So, well, actually, it looks like the Cowboys might be agreeing to terms with Terrell Basham.
What?
Edge defender, yes. That's going on right now.
Okay, well, that's interesting. He was a guy that they liked, you know, coming out of the draft a few years ago. He might have been a visit. I believe he was a 30-man visit. I could be wrong on that, but I remember we all, you know, getting ready for the draft that year, and his brother, Carlos Basham, or Boogie Basham, is going to be in the draft this year. Terrell Basham, 6'4", 266. He's a guy who's been the Colts drafted him, but he's been with the Jets the last couple of years, and he just hasn't broke out. You know, I believe he was a second-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. No, he was a third-round pick. He went 80th overall in the 2017 draft. Again, this would be another low-risk, high-reward guy with a little bit of upside, potentially. He would be a right defensive end, not really a strong-side defensive end, but he, you know, this is a guy who you come in and go, okay, could this guy compete with Dorrance Armstrong to be my second defensive end behind Randy Gregory, or my right defensive end, second right defensive end behind Randy Gregory? So, again, another move that, like, I know Cowboys fans are, like, clamoring for them to do big things, but you're just not going to see them do that right now. And man, that's another type of move that I really like. And it's nice to have breaking news on the podcast, too.
Yeah, it looks like his agent tweeted it. That's interesting. I mean, again, it's not like some news that all of a sudden is just going to be, I mean, the guy's had, I think, 5.5 sacks in the last 2 years combined. It's not anything that will prevent you from doing anything in the draft. I mean, if there's a good edge rusher there, that's what's so interesting about 10. Most years drafts, 10, you're looking at, there's going to be a good D tackle, a good defensive end there at 10. And you look at this draft and it's like, I don't know about that. And it's just interesting because of the fact that the Cowboys need defense. They're drafting at 10. And there are a lot of different scenarios where the first 9 picks are all offensive players, and you're not going to see a defensive player take until potentially the Cowboys at 10. Like, that just doesn't happen. There's usually an edge rusher. There's usually a tackle that goes somewhere in that top 10 before, and this draft class just doesn't have it. So you need to continue getting insurance, and it looks like, you know, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and look, it's obviously, you know, the Randy Gregory thing we've talked about a million times where, you know, counting on him is never usually a good idea. But, you know, they expect him to be there, and I expect him to be there too. But, you know, Terrell Basham, he can give them something that, you know, a little bit of pass rush, a little bit of competition in camp more than anything. I mean, again, this guy is not a high sack guy. In fact, you know, he was playing a lot of 3-4 outside linebacker with the Jets. You know, they're probably, I would assume they're going to ask him to be a 4-3 pass rusher. Maybe Dan Quinn sees him as a guy who can play, you know, strong linebacker, play Sam or something like that. You know, maybe that's a possibility. You know, again, until, like, you talk to Dan Quinn, it's hard to really know. But that, like, length on the inside does appear to be something with Carlos Watkins and you know, Brent Urban, who they got today. again, just not great players. Urban, the better player of the two. Although Carlos Watkins had a really good, you know, college career with Clemson. But Brent Urban has good run-stopping presence, and they've needed that. They need a true one-tech. We've been begging them for years to draft a one-technique defensive tackle, a big guy. And even though the value on those guys kind of slides a little bit because they don't always offer a lot of pass rush value, you know, we've been begging for those guys to draft a guy like that on day three. And now it's like, okay, well, I don't need you to draft a one-technique. I would like it. It does make me wonder if they would like a Gregory Rousseau, you know, a guy who played at Miami this year and who is, or he would actually set the year out, but, you know, a guy's kind of projected to go top 20 in this draft. And he's
hold
six
up.
Foot.
Let's do this. Hold on, KT, before you get in this, let's do this right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Let's say right now the Cowboys come to you and they're like, out of the guys you've watched so far on the edge rushers, we have to take one at 10. Who do you want us to take? And you can get what they're all available. There hasn't been one taken out of all the ones you've watched. You get to pick the guy. We're leaning on you, KT. Everything is going to depend on whatever you pick. Whoever you say, that's who we're taking. Who would you pick for the Cowboys?
Azeez Ojulari from Georgia. He would play right defensive end, and you know what? I would take him at 10. He probably wouldn't start for me. Doesn't that hurt?
Like in year one or ever?
Oh, year one. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Randy Gregory would start. So, I mean, and Azeez Ojulari, you know, that's his game, is rushing the passer and getting after it, but I don't think he would start over Randy Gregory. So, you know, again, I don't think edge at 10. You know, the thing about Gregory Rousseau, though, is he could play inside, too. You know, he played a lot of tackle. It's just weird because he's 6'7", but he's like 250 pounds. So it's like, okay, that's a little odd. But, like, you know, you think of those things like the way David Irving kind of won. David Irving had more power than Rousseau. I mean, look, Rousseau's 2019 year is unmistakable. 15 and a half sacks, almost 20 tackles for a loss. I mean, the thing is, it's just weird seeing a guy who doesn't look terribly athletic. And he plays defensive tackle and defensive end, and he wins sometimes as a defensive tackle, but he stands straight up. Like, but someone's going to bank on the upside of Rousseau. You know, one thing I was thinking about, John, though, like, and I'm not like one of those guys who's like, oh, trade. Like, usually you sit at where your draft pick is, and you make the pick, right? Like, just coming up with trades is fun and it's good fodder, but it actually takes legit agreements to happen. So it's not always like a realistic thing when people just go trade down. But like, what's interesting now, we were kind of talking about how the cornerback conundrum could, you know, they could be fine there at corner. You know, what if they get to 10, and what if Kyle Pitts from Florida is there, or Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State, is there? Even though the quarterbacks may be gone at that time, you know, those are really blue chip talents in this draft, and that could get the phone ringing. And the idea of the Cowboys having four picks in the top 60, or four picks in the top, you know, 75 or whatever, you know, that's pretty exciting compared to having just three. Like, it's simple. Like, moving, I'm comfortable. I'll put it this way. I'm comfortable moving away from Caleb Farley and Patrick Surtain because I like the second round corners. And I like the idea, if you're telling me that you would be serious about taking a safety, you know, I'd be interested to see what they're thinking at there at 10. Because to me, if it's just Farley or it's just Patrick Surtain, that's fine. It feels rather safe. And I'm comfortable moving back if we need to. Just put it that way. And who knows? They may be thinking we'll take the offensive tackle, you know, Slater from Northwestern. But and all those things are all in kind of conjunction with what they do in free agency a little bit.
So that is interesting because that could definitely happen. And I'm fine. And if Kyle Pitts was there, just me personally, I'm trading back if there is someone interested. But I will say, I do feel like Cowboys fans will want them to take Kyle Pitts right there, especially if they trade back and then the team that they trade back with takes Kyle Pitts, even though, you know, tight end looks to be in good shape, especially with the way Schultz played last year and Jarwin coming back. I just feel like there's so much hype on Pitts. Frankly, I don't even think he'll be there at 10, just how much hype there is on him right now. But if he is there and they trade back, there's going to be a lot of unhappy Cowboys fans who are like, why didn't we just take that guy? But I agree with you on Rashawn Slater, too. That's one of the guys there that if they feel like they don't really know how much longer Tyron Smith can hold up, maybe only another year or so, when are you going to get another chance to take, you know, an offensive tackle that high? You're hoping you're not drafting as high again for a while. So maybe you go in that direction if you're not going to go with the corners and you can't get out of 10. And it's interesting you mentioned how you don't love either one of those corners. And because of that, I don't see any team like really trading up to 9 to get in front of the Cowboys to take one of those corners, you know, knowing, oh, hey, the Cowboys might take one of these guys. We need to get in front of them to get our guy if we really love Farley or we really love Surtain. Like, I don't feel like a team's going to do that. If a team trades up in front of the Cowboys at any point, I feel like it's for Pitts, it's for one of the receivers, or it's for one of the quarterbacks.
You know, and also, I agree with you. You know, the thing, you know, it feels like Kyle Pitts is a good fit for the Eagles at pick 6, you know, assuming they don't go quarterback. But who knows, they may be trying to find a way to, you know, kill their cap a little more and find a way to get Deshaun Watson in there, although he's got a lot of stuff going on. You know, the thing about Kyle Pitts, I do think there's an argument for that, because if you're at 10, it's really going to be hard to make an argument that there is a better player in this draft at 10 than Kyle Pitts. So, you know, again, I like using it to make the phone ring first if you can, but I don't see Blake Jarwin being here in 2022. There's a lot to find out about him in 2021, but I don't necessarily see him being here in 2022. I don't necessarily see Michael Gallup being here in 2022.
And I understand that, but my issue with this is, at what point, where are you trying to get as a team? You just trying to get back to the playoffs? Okay, that's fine. Are you really trying to get to the playoffs and make a Super Bowl run? Because if that's the case, like, how do you think that this defense is going to get you there? Like, I don't care which team you look at. Like, I'm not saying you have to have a top 5 defense to make it to the Super Bowl, but like, even you look at the teams that Patrick Mahomes has been on with the Chiefs, like, they've had really good defenses. The Bucs just won the Super Bowl with like a really good defense. I'm not saying you have to have the best defense, but you have to have a pretty good defense. And I don't know how the defense even gets pretty good if you continue to not invest high picks on that side of the ball. I don't know how you just coach him up. I feel like I dealt with almost a decade of that with like Rod Marinelli.
No, and I agree. And
You're not adding him in free agency. So where are you adding the talent? Where are you getting better?
It's a third tight end, Sean McKeon, who they're developing. And as the Belldozer signed with the Chiefs today, Blake Bell. No, what I would say, John, here's my question to you, though, because I truthfully don't know. Kyle Pitts, tight end from Florida, who can kind of be wide receiver too. Rashawn Slater, tackle slash guard from Northwestern. Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech cornerback. Patrick Surtain, Alabama cornerback. And hell, I'll even throw in Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State. Those 5 guys.
Which one helps? Is this weird to say, KT? I kind of want him to draft Micah Parsons.
I don't think it's weird to say at all, because I think
it's not like a huge need for them, but like, I kind of want some attitude and some awesome playmaking on that defense at some position. I don't care.
If you tell me he could be the next Bobby Wagner for Dan Quinn's defense, go get Micah Parsons at 10.
Yeah, like, come on, guys.
I can tell you with Micah Parsons, he is a extremely, extremely good athlete and a really good player. You see him making plays, but you do see him missing plays too. And that's a frustrating thing about him. Is like, you see him like kind of doing some Jalen stuff where he's like filling a wrong hole and stuff. I'm like, wait, there, why did you miss your run fit again? But of the 5 guys I just threw out there, how many of those guys, which one of those guys helps you the most in 2021, or which one of those guys helps you the most for the next 5 years? And honestly, I'm kind of thinking it's the guys on offense more than the defensive guys that I threw out there. So if you're drafting for 1 year, then I want you going all in on free agency in 1 year then.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where to me, drafting Kyle Pitts, I would never look at anyone and go, that's a terrible idea. No, it's an awesome idea, because he would be the clear best player on the board. Like, if there's a guy who's going to go to the Hall of Fame in this draft, it's Trevor Lawrence or it's Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. And it almost stops there, like feeling good about saying that out loud. Like, maybe I feel pretty good about, you know, Sewell.
Well, like I said, I'm using Seattle as an example right here, okay? And I'm going to say that whatever corner you take at 10 is going to become Richard Sherman. And Micah Parsons is going to become Bobby Wagner. So you have a chance to get Richard Sherman or Bobby Wagner. Who do you want at 10? Because I think I want Wagner.
I just, Okay, so are you picking up the fifth-year option on Leighton Vander Esch, and are you having Jalen Smith on your team?
Well, no, because he's going to be Bobby Wagner, so you're not even going to be worried about that. You're all about this guy is going to be your guy for a decade.
Oh, man. That
and the reason I say this is because you just mentioned Hall of Fame, and I think of Richard Sherman and Bobby Wagner as being Hall of Famers. So that's why I'm saying you could get a Hall of Fame defender.
Yeah, that I value cornerback more than I value linebacker.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. But I just think Bobby Wagner is just so like a different beast than like almost any other linebacker. Like, I don't think Richard Sherman separates himself from the rest of the corners the way Bobby Wagner separates himself from almost all of the linebackers over his, you know, like I'm saying, like a decade of him playing at this level.
Well, too, that's where depth of the draft comes in too, because I can tell you all about second round cornerbacks, and we get to linebacker after the first few guys. You know,
and how much longer, KT, though, can, like, say they do draft Kyle Pitts, and it's a CeeDee Lamb situation, and McCarthy's like, well, he's just sitting there. He's the number one guy on our board, so we took him. And then they go into next season, and their defense is terrible again. Like, his job, I feel like, is at stake here. Like, you can't just make luxury picks at this point when you need to vastly improve on that side of the ball. I that's all I'm saying, so... Even though it probably is a Hall of Fame player, like, you've got needs. So I don't know if he can outlast. This isn't Jason Garrett in year eight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he can outlast a Kyle Pitts like career here. You know what I'm saying? If the defense doesn't improve.
No. You're right. This is kind of like where I think people get frustrated with like not doing more in free agency. To kind of supplement the draft, because now you have to, for the next 6 weeks, go, well, we're going to fix the defense in the draft. And then you get to the draft, and then something nice pops up, and you're like, oh, you yell squirrel to a dog when Kyle Pitts is there at 10 or when CeeDee Lamb is 17. You're like, oh, yeah.
You're right.
I'm going to chase this thing. Like, I get it. And you know what?
I think tempting. Jerry has something to do with that, too. I don't hate to put all that on McCarthy, because I think Jerry wanted CeeDee Lamb just as bad as anyone in that room. So
I you know what else we have to talk about real quick about this? Let me factor this in too. If you said that they take Kyle Pitts at 10, but at 44 they get a corner that's on the level of Trayvon Diggs, who immediately steps in as a factor, then I think people will be fine with it. I just I'm not saying everybody, but I think that there's some people that would be concerned, myself included, that there is a track record in Dallas of using that second round pick to take a little bit of a risk on an injury guy who you might not get contributions from right away. And if you're pairing that situation with Kyle Pitts, I hate it. But if you're going to give me another Trayvon Diggs after taking CeeDee Lamb in the first round, then yeah, sign me up for that. And it doesn't have to be a corner either. It could be, let's say, one of the safeties falls there. It could be one of the defensive tackles falls there to 44. But if you give me a defender that can come in and I know is going to be a starter on my defense, I'll be able to digest that better than just Kyle Pitts and then them taking a chance on somebody in the second round where they're like, well, we didn't think this guy would fall this far. It's coming off some injuries. Might not be able to help us that much right now, but in 2 years, this could be our guy. Like, I'm good with that.
Let's say they loved, we're just having fun here real quick. Let's say they love safety Richie Grant from Central Florida or safety Trevon Moehrig from TCU. Would you combine 44 and your comp pick 99 to get up to 34? Or maybe 44 and your comp pick 75 to get up to 27.
I don't think they would do that for safety.
Yeah, I don't think they do that for safety. But to be honest with you, of this last decade of watching Cowboys football, I would do it for sure.
They need to. I don't think they would.
If all of my scouts that have seen them are completely sold that I'm not saying like a Pro Bowl safety, but going to be a solid starter for me, and we'll get, here's the key, I will have to. They will be good enough that I will have to give them a second contract. Then yes, I'm in for that. Oh,
so the money on Basham is 2 at 6.5. So again, another cheap.
But I think it's up to 6.5. There could be some things in there where, like, you know, it might not be that on that level. But if he reaches this number of sacks or this many of pressures, then he gets sick. I think that's the top out on it. So I don't know that that's necessarily what he's getting guaranteed. But sorry, go on.
Now, if they were going to spend on a guy, the Bears just cut their cornerback Kyle Fuller. Kyle Fuller is 29 right now. Had a 7-interception year back in 2018, but has started and played it. Actually, he's played in every game in his 6-year career. Started all but 2 games in his rookie year. He is durable. Man, I don't know how much he would cost on the market looking at things, but my goodness, Kyle Fuller would be a great player. Mm-hmm. And there's a tantalizing free agent name you want to toss out. We threw out a bunch of names on a podcast a couple weeks ago, and they've been, you know, cussed and discussed a little bit on here, but like, you know, Kyle Fuller's a name that just became available, and I didn't necessarily see that coming. I didn't know, you know, what the Bears cap situation was, so that's a interesting name.
Speaking of Bears, though, you boys fine with the backup quarterback situation now? I mean, if we went into the season right now with what they have, you're looking at Garrett Gilbert as the backup with also Cooper Rush and Ben DiNucci. I personally don't think that Mike McCarthy is going to be cool with that. I think that they're going to somehow, some way, bring on a veteran, whether it be through right in the next week or so in free agency, or maybe if a veteran gets let go after the draft because of a team that drafts a quarterback. I don't think the Cowboys go into next season with Garrett Gilbert being the backup.
I don't either. Not knowing how McCarthy feels about Garrett Gilbert, obviously, but I was kind of like, I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, okay, well, these guys started getting snatched up, too. Like, the day Dalton went, you know, Tyrod Taylor went, and Tyrod Taylor made, like, $12 million. That's way too much. Like, you want a guy who's going to be under $5 million. So, like, Tim Boyle signed with the Lions. Tim Boyle was Aaron Rodgers' backup. But, you know, looking at that, when that happened, I was like, I don't think the McCarthy connection goes back because Boyle didn't get in the league till 2019. But I do think it'll be something really, really, really cheap if they do something. But, you know, that's far from the priority.
Looks like Glennon going to the Giants means that Colt probably won't be back there. So,
hey, you like that. You've been pushing for Colt for a while now.
I feel like for years, Cowboys Nation has been thinking that was going to be something. And then, like, maybe it was because we knew Jason liked him. And then, you know, Jason worked with him. And yeah, he's still out there. It's just all these backup guys. They're all gone already. They're all signed. Trubisky, Brissett, like all these guys are just.
But there'll be other guys.
Talk about like veteran guys that have, you know, starting experience, wins under their belt. Those types of guys who, if Dak were to go down for five games again, you know, what kind of season are we going to have? That's a legitimate question, KT.
But there could be guys after the draft, though, just because, like last year, Andy Dalton wasn't available until after the draft. Like,
say there's a Russell Wilson trade that goes down.
Yeah, you never know. So, Ken, if you could have Colt McCoy or Earl Thomas on this Cowboys team, since I know like that name too, who do you want?
Earl Thomas.
I know those are your favorites. So.
Yeah, I don't think Dak's. I think Dak's going to be fine for next season. I really do. So I'm not as concerned as I am about the defense. So if it's one or the other, I'm taking the safety. But yeah, I mean, you need starting experience. I do not want another Cooper Rush situation under our hands. But Garrett Gilbert looked okay last year. Like it could be a worse situation. I would feel a lot worse if it was just Cooper Rush and Ben DiNucci.
All I can do for you right now, and Flacco, I don't think signed with the 49ers. I know he visited him, but I got Joe Flacco for you. I got AJ McCarron for you, Blaine Gabbert, Brian Hoyer, Brett Hundley, who was with McCarthy a few years ago. Maybe that's a connection you can look at. That's all I can do for you. Oh, Blake Bortles.
God, no.
CJ Beathard.
Please, no.
You know? I'm not, Nick Mullins?
Nick Mullins is fine.
Oh, he was restricted, though. He'll probably stay in San Francisco. Now, I was trying to find a McCarthy connection. It's just hard to find anything.
What about Nick Foles? Foles goes on the street.
Foles isn't an option.
Foles isn't an option. That'd be so funny if he brought in Foles.
We should mention this, too. LP Lattisuer gone. He was two games short of tying Witten's record for most games played as a Cowboy. And Chris Jones gone as well. Kind of saw that coming. But
it's like the first time in 20 years that LP, Chris Jones, or Dan Bailey wasn't on those special teams. Like one of those
it's very clear they're letting John Fossil get the guys he wants. I mean, it's very clear that they're allowing him. I mean, and to be honest, the special teams improved quite a bit last year. And so now that he's getting more of his guys in, they re-sign a guy like Noah Brown. They re-sign, obviously, CJ Goodwin's a huge move for the special teams. He was, I thought, their most valuable special teams player last year. That should be a solid unit, which obviously you just go 2 years ago, it was the worst in the league. So he's done a good job there. They're clearly listening to him and allowing him to do what he wants. So That's what they've upgraded so far, I feel like, is special teams. That's what's been addressed so far. Other than that, offense, defense, I know that Jerry said they had pie left, but I just have had my reservations about the idea of, are they really going to spend that money? And I think the only way they do is if there's just some bargain free agent that just continues to make it into the second week. And then they're like, all right, well, yeah, we'll do this for 1 year. We didn't think we'd even be able to get you for this price. So let's do it, you know?
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
And lastly, John, anything that stood out from the Dak press conference? Obviously, that you were in attendance for that. So, like, anything to you or a couple of big notes from the Dak press conference?
Did Jerry have a black eye or something after just taking a beating in that deal? You know,
no, but it was interesting to hear how, you know, how many different ways and different times throughout that. I mean, over an hour and 20 minute press conference, just how he conceded that, you know, he lost in that. And that negotiation, and that's not something that happens to him very often, obviously, with not just football, but in his business life. But, you know, that's just interesting because you never really hear Jerry Jones say that. And it was just made very clear that Dak got the best of that deal. And so Jerry turned it to like, well, but in the end, the Cowboys win. So we, you know, we all win because we were able to keep Dak. And in the end, he's right. But this is a guy that hasn't really slowed down as he's gotten, you know, older in age now, up to 78. You know, he's still wheeling and dealing. So to have that type of drive like he does in the business world, there's no way that it doesn't bother him even a little bit, though, that Dak and Todd France got the best of that. You know what? To be honest with you, just to answer your question, KT, I kind of thought some of the best stuff was just after it was over and Todd France, like, talked to a group of, like, five or six reporters. And it just Todd France never talks to anyone. Like, at the combine every year, I know Kent, you've been around there when this has happened. Like, there's a day every year at the combine where all the agents have to basically, I think it's renew their license, and so they're all in this one ballroom. They come in and out throughout like probably a 3-4 hour period, and there's a lot of reporters that hang out there to kind of just talk to the agents about like players that are on their teams and stuff. And I have never seen Todd France talk to anybody out there. Like, it just like, it's, I mean, he keeps everything quiet behind the scenes. And it was just interesting to hear him sell his side of the story and how it bothered him over these last 2 years of the things he heard. And he didn't say necessarily like local reporters or guys like us on podcasts. I think he was more so some of the national television shows where the talking heads always are talking about that because it's the hot sports topic. And he just felt like there were a lot of inaccurate things being put out there, but that's the way he negotiates, is that he keeps everything that he has behind the scenes. And that just shows you, on top of it, that whenever this stuff was coming out, like we talked about here on this podcast so many times, it was coming out from the Cowboys side, and that was made very clear. But it was just interesting to see him actually stop and talk, because he never really does. But during the press conference, very positive. You can tell, you know, just everything was a really good mood heading in the right direction. I was a little surprised that Mike McCarthy wasn't there. I think he's back in Green Bay still. I think it was spring break for his kids are still in school. But for the most part, everybody else, you know, was there. And it just kind of was the first time that it kind of felt like we were back to normal, because, you know, everyone was wearing masks and we were all distance, but it was like the first time you were kind of back at the star and there like something actually happened, because nothing has happened for over 2 months. You know, we hadn't heard from the Cowboys. You really hadn't heard about any movement. And all of a sudden this contract comes together. And I know it was kind of sold as it came together in like a day or two, but Todd France and Stephen Jones both said that this went like for multiple weeks. And I, you know what, that's another interesting part of it too, is that Stephen admitted that Todd was the one that picked up the phone finally and was like, let's stop messing around with this. Let's talk about it. Let's get the ball rolling. And so that was kind of interesting, because it just shows you that for the longest time, for this 2 years, it was both sides kind of sitting there looking at the phone like, I'm not calling first. Let's see if they'll call. And it took someone to finally give in, and that was Todd France.
Well, it's we're all glad that, at least I think on this show, we're all glad that the deal got done. And now the work still has to be done. Like it's interesting, like seeing like a team like in the division, like Washington, you know, go make some plays. Even though it's kind of, I didn't see them signing Ryan Fitzpatrick. That caught me off guard. But they got Fitzmagic, and then like they're running.
What
Curtis
does that
Samuel.
Do for you, KT? What does that do for you? Like, what do you think they are now with him? Like, I still think they're like 9-7, maybe 10-6.
I think they're less than that, because
okay,
I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heinicke or whatever they're going to go with. Like, when's the last time Fitzpatrick played 16 games, right? Like, he gets benched at some point in the year every time he gets the job. And I understand there's younger guys or whatever, but like, you know, it sounds like they're pretty committed to a Heinicke and you know, Fitzpatrick like competition. But like adding Curtis Samuel is kind of interesting. Seeing them make a play. Who's the defensive back they got? They got a decent defensive back as well. It's slipping me because
William
Jackson. William Jackson, yeah. So like, you know, they're out there kind of doing some things. It's very interesting. I still think like without a Dak injury last year, I still think the Cowboys easily win the division. Like, I think the Cowboys were resting starters down the stretch last year, even with that crappy defense. And I kind of feel like they've got quite a bit of cushion this year as well. Like, I know like everyone kind of likes the Washington roster, but I just think having a quarterback like Dak and what this offense is going to be able to do will win them. I still feel like they're like a two-game favorite in the division. And that's such a dangerous thing to do, you know? It seems like it always backfires when you get that way, but I still just think Washington's far off if they're truly going with Fitzpatrick or Samuel. Or Heinicke.
I can't – I don't know if I agree with far off. I mean – yeah, granted, the Cowboys did lose their quarterback last season, but you know, think about what Washington was rolling out last year at quarterback, and they still, you know, won the division based on solely on their defense. I mean, if they're competent on offense, they draft a receiver to complement Terry McLaurin. You know, they draft Kyle Pitts or something like that. You know, make a splash on offense, rebuild that offensive line to protect Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they're certainly the favorite in the division, if not the Cowboys, going into next season. And that's not a question. I think Fitzpatrick, it gives me more faith in them than if they were to go with Heinicke.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that, but I still think the Cowboys have the edge as long as Dak's healthy.
Yeah, of course.
The only way that I would go with Washington is they would have to significantly improve at quarterback and you know, like make a move for like Deshaun Watson or something like that. That would have been the only way I think that they're better than the Cowboys if Dak's healthy. You know?
Oh, I don't think they're better than the Cowboys either, but I think they're going to be the Cowboys' biggest competition in this.
Oh,
this
yeah,
for sure.
Yes.
Well, and quickly, I'll be quick here. It's part of the reason why I'm like encouraging the Cowboys to draft for 5 years and not draft for 1 year, because I think as is, even with this crappy defense, I do think as is, they're good enough to win the division. Now, it's like about winning Super Bowls and all that stuff, right? But, like, dude, let's make the playoffs first. And that's why I'm kind of, like, encouraging best player everywhere. And I know we got to get the defense fixed at some time. I know it. But it's like Kyle Pitts could be there. Maybe he goes to Philadelphia at 6 or whatever. But I think you can do it without, like, having – like, you're not going to quick fix this defense into a top 5 or top 10 unit in 1 year anyways. So, like, if that's kind of out the window, let's just – do what we're doing for, you know, long term.
Yeah, I can't honestly say I'll come on here and be upset if they draft Kyle Pitts. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, like, if we get to next season and you know, we're let's say at the bye week, you know, let's say midway through the season they're 4-4, you know, you're like, and they're 29th in defense. and they have, you know, three sacks all year. You know, you're like, ooh, Kyle Pitts is great. It's great that he has two touchdowns so far as a rookie. You know, it's great. But, you know, that's all I'm saying. It's like, yeah, we need to think about the long term. And that is a pick that will pay off in 5 years or you know, maybe a Hall of Fame player. But my gosh, they were historically bad last year, guys. I mean, historically bad. Let's not pretend like this is a middle tier defense. It's like, oh, one more top 10 pick and they'll make it find the Super Bowl. I'm saying like they need multiple top 10 picks and this is just one of them. And if they need to spend a top 10 pick on a defensive guy while they have a top 10 pick, let's not like wait on pick 27 and pick 18 and all these guys that have, you know, signed rookie contracts and left because the Cowboys don't value them enough to keep them around. So that's all I'm saying. It's like, if you've got that, like, best player on the board on defense, go that route.
It's hard to disagree with. It's just like, you know, sometimes you're on a diet and you're like, hey, you know what? I think I'll have that cookie. You know? And it's like, but.
Yeah, it's like the Chiefs, you know? It's like their offense is just so good that, I mean, their defense is good too, but it's like they just keep adding weapons to that offense and it's like, just when you think they're done adding weapons, they add another weapon, you know? So,
hey, I'm going to have a dry January. And then like 2 weeks in, you're pouring a glass of whiskey. It's that type of thing. Okay. Well, guys, it was fun to catch up. And again, we'll be back. If anything crazy happens, if the Cowboys make a huge signing, we'll be here for you with an emergency Cowboys podcast, of course. Keep following John, who's been producing great content throughout this free agency period, and we're about 5 or 6 weeks away from the draft. So, and make sure to you know, keep following The Athletic and check out our friends' work as well. We'll get baseball coming with Levi and the Star and Sod and Tim Cato and the Mavs doing stuff. Bob's doing stuff. So we're all kicking butt here on The Athletic for you, our subscriber and listener. We love you. For our producer, Kent Garrison, for Father John Michaud, live on remote in Detroit, Michigan. No, not Detroit. What part of Michigan?
Warren, Sterling Heights area, suburbs of Detroit.
Live on remote
from the burbs.
From his brother's house in Michigan. Father John Machota, I'm KT. We'll see you next time on About Them Cowboys.
Y'all stay corona free, all right? And God bless.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.